If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone, and welcome back to your bona fide favorite pop culture podcast, Laura. It's been a hot minute since you've probably heard that.
I've literally got nerves. Like, all of Lucy and I have been sitting here chatting for like half an hour, and all of a sudden, I just got like butterflies. It's been too long.
Yeah, it's funny because Laura messaged and was like, we need to have a reunion episode, like where we sort of talk about what we've been up to, and I was like, it doesn't feel like a reunion for me because Culture Vulture has been, like, continuously going when this bitch, bless her soul, has been living it up, the sisterhood of the traveling pants dreams.
I've been on sabbatical. That's what I'm telling everyone.
She's been on Sabby.
I've been on Sabby, and I truly, I have been, I've been phone off, work phone off, completely gone, and I'm going to have very little to offer today because I feel like I have no idea what's happened in the world of pop culture. All I can tell you about is feta.
Well, that's honestly, it's kind of all I want to hear about. I feel like not that much has happened. If you need to catch up, you can listen to the last few episodes of Culture Vulture. I'm sure something happened and I talked about it, but I'm actually have no recall. Before we get started, everyone, I'm trying to remember to be better at doing the housekeeping at the start of these goddamn episodes because all I want to do when we get on the mic is launch right into it. But you know what really helps us with Culture Vulture and making sure we can still do it as a job is you liking, rating. Do you even like on podcast apps? I don't know, actually. Leaving a review, subscribing, doing all that really cute, nice stuff, sharing it with your friends.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah, we love to see you all sharing Culture Vulture. And do you know what we loved even more than seeing you rate and review was you all tagging us in Stanley Tucci boogieing at the Harry Styles concert and saying, Laura needs to see this. Stanley Tucci Light needs to see this. Like, I feel like we have Culture Vulture lore now. I feel like we have inside
that,
jokes.
I cannot tell you. I got sent it by my friend Pip, who loves Culture Vulture and listens every week, but is also one of my best friends. So, you know, I thought, of course. And then more messages started coming through. And at the time, Rupert was reading, or Stanley Tucci Light, for those who don't know, is Rupert, was reading Stanley Tucci's memoir at the time. And the whole thing got a bit too meta for me.
No, the photos of, like, this bald little Rupert reading the Stanley Tucci book.
I sent you a photo of Rupert reading.
Yes, it went on Close Friends, don't you worry. And if you're not on Close Friends, come and become a paying supporter because you get this really inside meta shit of Rupert and Grace. Rupert, who is Stanley Tucci Light, reading Stanley Tucci's book, and then Stanley Tucci boogieing down at Harry Styles, and
God, it was too
Laura's favourite comment of all time, which was
music for a Tucci restaurant. I don't know who said it, but it ruined me. It's ruined
me.
I love it. After that, I went on a little bit of a, on my 2 minutes of internet time for that week, I went and tried to contact Stanley Tucci's publicist. So if you're listening, we want you on Culture Vulture.
We want the publicist or we want Tucci?
I'll take either, to be fair. Maybe we should have Stanley Tucci light on here first as a practice.
No, maybe he can just though pretend that he's Stanley Tucci. Because, sorry, Culture Vulture is not for normal people. It's only for celebs.
It's not
So if he pretends he's Stanley Tucci, 100%. 100%.
God. Okay, stay tuned. Stay tuned, everyone. But yes, that was my only bit of internet, and I loved it.
Other housekeeping is we have a book club, shit you should read about, and this month, this upcoming month's book is Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. And the book that we've just read is romantic comedy, and Belle is interviewing Curtis Sittenfeld, the author of that So if you're part of our book club, again, it's for our paying supporters. You get bonus podcast episodes with interviews like that. You get all our Substack chats, which are unhinged. And Laura, actually, you've read a few books over your
I have read a sabbatical. Lot of books. I spent my sabbatical reading. I think I've said it before, but I've got a freakishly fast reading rate. And it's on times like this, it really shows. And we were away with nothing to do. I was basically averaging about a book a day. So I read a solid 15 books while I was on holiday. God, and I wanted to think about what they were on my radar, but honestly, they've all kind of merged into one. I was telling Luce before, I read essentially the entire back catalogue of Sophie Kinsella, who wrote the Confessions of a Shopaholic series. I had it on my Kindle already, and there's about, I swear, 12 of them. I've read every single one, and they definitely blend into one. But another book I read that I love, which I think everyone should read, was called The Stranding. Have you heard of it, Luce?
I don't think I have.
So it caught my eye because it's set in New Zealand, and it's not normally my genre, but I was quite into it. It's set in New Zealand after an apocalypse, and this girl from London moves to New Zealand. When she gets there, the world's essentially been wiped out by something, I won't say, and she ends up surviving, and it's kind of about her, like, survival in the New Zealand wilderness. And there's a guy there with her. It's super random, but was really, really good. And I would recommend that.
That is so random, but I'm actually here for it. And that's good because I was going to ask you, did you have any recs from your trip? And also, you mentioning On My Radar, which we usually do at the end of the episode, reminded me that I have not written anything for On My Radar. So really good start. Do you know what we also haven't done is we haven't talked about the kaupapa of today's episode, which is it's hopefully a very light chat, a light one to get us back into it. But it's like, are the Kardashians still relevant? Or what has happened to them? Should we care? Why did we care so much? But before we get into that, what describes your week? Or was it everything we just spoke about? What,
I would say I've pretty much summed up my week with that, I'd hope. But one thing I did want to talk about a little bit that sums up my week is it has been one whole year since I moved away from New Zealand.
Woohoo!
And ooh, that has gone so fast. London Laura has been here for a year. And just something that came up, particularly the last week we were away, was just this idea of, like, what is home? And, like, because, you know, you get on a plane and you think you're going back to New Zealand, but for the first time I kind of got on a plane and I was like, I'm going back to London where I live.
Yeah.
Which was super random. And I know, Luce, that you had some quite big news that you dropped this week in a similar vein.
Yeah, I'm moving to goddamn Portugal. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
it's funny because Laura and I have been chatting about this. Maybe I told you a few months ago and it's been just sort of happening in the background and something that not many people in our real lives, or online lives knew about. And then one day I just woke up, I was like, I should probably tell everyone. And it's been like, a lot of people have been saying, you're so lucky, you can do your job from anywhere, you're so, like, lucky, and, like, you could just move overseas. And, like, I will say, yes, I'm really lucky that I can do my job from anywhere, but this has not been a smooth process. Like, this has been one of the most stressful processes of my life. So honestly, but, like, I am really excited. I'm moving with Belle. I'm excited to call a new place home for a while. It's just gonna be cool. And I'm gonna be, a lot of people commented that I'll be closer to you for logistic reasons and for friendship
reasons. Thank God, finally, for both not doing these at 8:30 p.m. and Lucy in the, like, dawn, but equally so we can actually see each other.
I know.
I feel like that. Just briefly to hold on that for a second, I think it's super important. Like you said, it's not, it can be quite stressful making these decisions, and, like, it's not super easy. And I do feel like there's that rhetoric of, like, quit your job, do something new, pack a suitcase and run out of town. And, like, I am not the person to talk on that because I am so type A, you know, I physically can't. And even though we moved here pretty fast, like, I still didn't exactly just get up and go. But coming from you, that feels quite nice to hear that it's like,
yeah.
Actually, but let's be realistic.
Because I am a real get up and go. I'm a, like, change my life at the drop of a hat all the time.
Yes.
But this one's been like, in full disclosure, it's going to cost us by the time we get over there, like, 10 grand to move over there. It's really expensive. Visa lawyers and shit like that. Like, we're going for a Hundy's visa. And I'm sure we'll write about it one day, the trials and tribulations of doing this, because it's been like roadblock, but fucking just excited to live somewhere new for a while, be inspired.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a big decision, given that I loved what you wrote in the newsletter about how you never thought you'd be that person and you were like, no, I'm really happy in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Like, I really am happy where I am. And then it's like, all your friends go, but still you could have been happy.
Yeah.
Like, you could have stayed, but it's, I'm just so excited for you. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, as soon as it felt like I needed to go, and then Belle was like, what's left here for you? And I was like, true, not that much. It was like...
That's such a brutal question, but so good.
I know.
Coming from a friend.
I know.
So good.
And so loaded, because she wanted me to move with her. So...
She's like, and what's here for you? Because...
Darling, if you got anything left here...
If you look around, it's just you and Dunk now. No, so,
it truly was me and Dunk.
Dunk's got a life.
And Dunk has got a lot going on. Family, so I can't be the apple of his eye. And that's why I'm moving. No.
Why is Lucy always here? Why does she live in the garden?
That little gnome. Oh, that's actually really good that you asked me that, though, because that was my, what describes my week, moving out.
So. God, I should hope so. If anything bigger than that's happened for you this week, you've got to look just quickly on this, because I'm so interested. I feel like we left New Zealand, like, directly, like, kind of as soon as you could after COVID, so it was still very much everyone was there, but from what I, like, my friends have said and what other people have said, and even like there's been news articles about it, it does feel like there's a mass exodus from there at the moment. Is that true?
Yeah.
Or is that just media hype?
It's true. And even when we're at uni, people talked about the brain drain, about how everyone leaves when they get their degree. And then obviously we had COVID. So I feel like it just all happened at once. And it does feel kind of crazy though. Everyone, literally everyone I know is leaving.
Yeah.
Or wants to.
A few of our best friends in there, and they're like, yeah, we literally, everyone's gone.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
You just have to, though. Well, I don't know. I really thought I wouldn't, and now I am. Anyway, I have a new segment to bring to you from producer Ruby.
I'm so excited. Producer Ruby, what she got for us?
So, it's called Should We Care? Because we're called Shit You Should Care About, and one of the comments that we get the most is... Why should I care about this? Why do you care about this? And why aren't you talking about this? So we just sort of be fun. Obviously, a lot of the shit we talk about on Culture Vulture, especially in Naughty or Nice, it's not that deep. You don't have to care.
No.
And so it's almost poking fun. Like, I'm going to read some stuff out. And it's like, no, we fucking shouldn't care about that. But for some reason, we do.
And this is the place you come for things you don't care about. We literally build a home for it. And this is it.
And this is it. And so, and Laura, if I read out a story and you're like, I don't care, you can just say it even better. You can just say, nah, I don't care about that. We shouldn't care. So this is Should We Care? And it's basically Naughty or Nice, but it's just a bit more interesting.
She's had a rebrand.
She's had a rebrand. First, I want to talk about, I was going to talk about Glastonbury in quite a detailed way, but actually Laura and I are going to talk about Lewis Capaldi and what he's been going through and what happened at his set in Glastonbury in the weekend, because it speaks to something bigger in musicians in mental health, which is literally something that Laura has studied.
Yes, it is a topic very close to my heart that I feel like, I think we have talked about this a few times, but it'll be really, really cool to go in depth in an episode on here. I did in 2020, a couple of years ago now, I did a year-long research dissertation on the tortured artist and suffering and musicians, and looked at kind of different therapeutic ways that they could be helped. And there's so much in this entire topic that we could never even encompass in one episode, but we're going to do our damn best. And you and Liv also covered this as well, right? Last year, I feel like. So maybe listen to that episode if you want to prep.
Yes. We talked last year about all the artists that were cancelling their shows in the name of mental health, which is kind of like what we'll be starting next week's episode off with. But then we'll be going into some things that Laura will teach me.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
But the one person I did want to talk about from Glastonbury was Lana Del Rey. Did you see? So she came out 30 minutes late for her set, and she said it was because of her crew getting her hair. Like, she said, my hair fucking takes ages to do. And so then, because of the midnight curfew, her set got cut off, and the mics got cut off, the audio, the, like, all the imagery and stuff, the lighting. And so she went into the crowd and did, like, a version of Summertime Sadness, and then, which is kind of an ironic, like, I don't know, it's kind of like a really, like, you're, it's in the middle of summer and you've just been cut off and you barefoot in the crowd singing Summertime Sadness because you're so sad that you're...
And I'm sad.
And then she did Video Games, just with the audience singing back to her. But I just wanted to get your take on this. I put this on TikTok, of all places, in, like, one of our roundups. And half the people were like, we loved Lana. Like, her set was amazing. She shouldn't have been cut off. And then the other half were like, no, it's a festival. You have your set times. There's people waiting for you. You show up on time. I just wanted to know where you sat on that.
I couldn't, basically, just a quick caveat, living in the UK, all I have seen, like, we landed last night at literally 1 a.m. and so I was back on Instagram today and all I have seen is Glastonbury. Like, it is my entire feed. Everyone I know is there. I can't really think about it too much. But I was in Greece, so who cares?
Yeah.
But the videos of it are crazy. Like, I didn't realize she literally got down on her knees and, like, begged to, like, stay on the stage. Like, I actually cannot believe how... I think my first impression, I was like, I cannot believe how ruthless they've been with the curfew, because I have been to so many gigs where the lights come on and then they go, okay, and they turn them off and they do a couple, and we all know where there's a fake encore, you know, like, there's things always, but I had never heard that Glastonbury was so tight with their set times, but evidently they are. When I watched the video, I don't know if you thought this, but when she was saying that about her hair, I wondered if it was just like a joke. Like,
yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Was it actually that her hair and makeup took... Has she made a statement at all?
She just said on stage, my fucking hair took so long. But yeah, I didn't know.
But since that, she hasn't, right? She's not said a thing. Because I'm like, was it a joke? Was there... Because if there's a reason, but maybe that is the reason.
I'm also like, you've done this style of hair and makeup basically your whole career. It's not really an excuse. You know how long it takes. When you, it kind of reminds me of Frank Ocean at Coachella a little bit, you know, how he sort of did a lackluster performance. I mean, in Lana's case, I will say, apparently it was the performance of a lifetime. It was a beautiful set.
I know. All the reviews were amazing.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Like, everyone said she stole the entire show.
Yeah. And so I just would have been gutted because I fucking love Lana Del Rey and I would have wanted...
Do you?
Yes.
I did not know that about you.
2010 Tumblr, like, fucking plug it into my veins. I'm so depressed. I'm born to die. Like, so I would have been gutted. But my next question is, should we care? Do you care about this?
I think I really care about it.
Yeah.
Because there's so many elements of it that are so... I'm just like, actually getting cut off, her getting down and begging, them saying no, her going, fuck it, I'm going to sing anyway, the crowd singing back. I loved that video of everyone singing along with her. But then I also saw a video of people booing, which I was like, are they booing the sound guy? Are they booing her?
Oh,
I don't know.
More digging to be done?
More digging to be done. Stay tuned for next week, but I definitely care.
I care too. And, like, I think it's enough just to be, like, a fan of Lana and care about it. Like, even if there wasn't all this stuff going on, I would have cared. Okay, the next, should we care? And this is really niche, and I just wanted to give it a brief mention in here because I think I need to write about it. And it's kind of similar to our Ozempic chat that we had on the pod. But it is this woman and this trend that I'm seeing on TikTok right now. And it's, I don't know if you would have seen, it's her with a plate of just raw vegetables and a chicken and apple sausage, and she dips it in mustard and dips it in cottage cheese and drinks her electrolytes, and that's like all she eats 24/7. And now it's this like mustard trend where it's, and I'm seeing it get into like really bad like territory with sort of disordered eating, where it's like this new like trend of how to eat clean, and everyone's just got this plate of raw vegetables and they get their sausage and they go chicken apple sausage and mustard, Brussels sprout and mustard, like blah 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 and mustard, and
what,
yeah, it's this weird raw vegetable mustard cottage cheese trend, and I'm seeing it all over TikTok now, and it's starting to like infiltrate my feed, and it's made me be like, wow, should I try this, like blah blah blah. And I'm like, no, this is actually just like the new, I don't know, we've had all these eating trends in the past that or eating trends are always worrying to me, but this is like, I don't know.
I've not seen anything, but no, we do care about this, but we don't think you should try it.
No, I don't think you should make mustard and Brussels sprouts and raw vegetables and one sausage your like only meal. I think so. The thing with this woman, I can't remember her name, is she does it, she has Lyme disease, and she does it because it's a good diet for her inflammatory, but in her username, it's her name and then weight loss, so it looks like it's just for weight loss. And I just wanted to say it on here because I wouldn't be surprised if we saw someone writing about this or we saw this becoming a thing. And I think I'll write about it because it's like, it's just another, like, you remember Sarah's Day and all that clean eating green smoothie sort of energy, that it's just a new version of that. And I don't know, eating trends are just something that's very fascinating to me, but also I'm putting this in here because I care and I think it's interesting and no one's talking about it yet.
And I also can't wait to see which mustard company decides to be completely insane and jump on this and get behind it and get very quickly called out for it.
And I feel she always drinks electrolytes, and I feel like she's a company, an electrolyte company maybe. I don't know. There's things going on, and I'm like,
Stay tuned. I will be finding this straight after we're done recording here, because I'm sorry, it's one of those things where when you're describing it, I'm like, okay, there's a chicken apple sausage, and there's cottage cheese.
Yes, on a plate. It's like,
I don't know.
I know, and I felt weird explaining it to you too, but that's happening. And then
I'm a visual learner. It's not making sense.
It's not. I'll send it to you after this. And then the next one leads into our chat about the Kardashians. Kourtney Kardashian announces that she's pregnant in actually kind of a cool way. Obviously, it's all marketing, obviously. But Kourtney Kardashian held up a sign at a Blink-182 concert that said, "Travis, I'm pregnant." And inspiration for the sign is, for those that don't know, in a music video for All the Small Things, like in a section of that music video, a fan can be seen holding up a sign that says, "Travis, I'm pregnant." And so Kourtney recreated that, and it's actually, I'm not gonna lie, it's actually cute for them because they've been trying to have a baby for quite a while.
I thought it was very cute, and I thought it was, I quite like the video.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it.
Same.
I quite liked it.
So should we care? Yeah, because I don't know. It's just cute for them. And I know there's like all this cynical shit you could be saying, but it's like, it's just a creative idea.
Although I will say, did you, like, obviously I got the reference afterwards, but I'd never seen that video before the original, had you? Either. It's before our time, right?
So good marketing for Blink-182 as well.
This is what I'm saying, actually. Whoever's behind all that has done a brilliant job.
Yeah. And then, to follow up on the Kourtney Kardashian story that we obviously care about a lot, they've just announced that it's a boy, and they did like a drum
roll.
A drum roll, like literal drum gender reveal, so...
Oh my god.
Okay, well, now we're going to talk about the Kardashians in general and whether they're still relevant or how they're fighting to keep their grips on relevancy. Mostly because the new season of the Kardashians has come out, and I don't usually like religiously watch, but I used to love when it came on when I was a kid. Mm. Like, I fucking ate that shit up. And then I actually have watched all episodes of this season.
Welcome. It's a good place to be, Luce.
Yeah.
It's so a good place to be.
Are you a watcher?
Oh, yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Give us your Kardashian journey. When did you find out about them?
When did I begin on this journey? Well, first of all, yeah, I feel like this is going to be, I mean, we've already talked for goodness knows how long, so we're going to have to keep this pretty pacey as it is.
Yeah.
But when you messaged me about doing this, I was interested to see where you stand on the Kardashians. But I think in a very similar to you, grew up with it kind of on, was it on E? How did we watch it growing up? On E.
It was on E.
Channel E. And like, because there's so many damn episodes, it's just always on for hours. Or if I had a sick day, like kind of just watching that and dipping in, dipping out, never really keeping up.
Yeah.
But then this Disney, basically, I think, yeah, I had a gap of, I haven't watched it religiously at all, but I have watched all the Disney episodes since it's been with them. I guess 2 seasons, is it? 3 seasons? I don't know. And yeah, something about it has got me. I think what's really interesting is the way that they've kind of produced this season, or these seasons with Disney particularly, is they've really tied in what will happen in the real world, and then you'll watch it play out in more depth. I'm doing that in quotation marks because I realize no one can see me. You'll see it play out in more depth like 2 months later when you watch the season.
Yeah.
And I find that super interesting because where else do you really do that?
Like, I know, unless it's like a movie coming out and they've lined up all the press with the movie, but this is just a TV show that
they're all producers on. I think now, I was looking at the credits today when I watched the most recent episode, and I think they're all producers on it now, or most of them are producers on it, so they all have a say in how it's put together, I assume.
And like, they all say that they hate doing it, like on the show, it's very meta, they say they hate doing it.
It's so meta!
But then they need to get that back, or like, who are they anymore without this show? Like, they all have their businesses, like healthcare, beauty. I mean, they have a range of them, but the show is, I don't know. I just think they're really, and Liv and I have a whole episode on keeping up with the Kardashians PR machine, so we're not really going to go into that.
Oh, I loved that one.
You can go and listen.
I loved that.
But I just feel like they're so shameless and untouchable in the way that they, like, the way that Kim fucking photoshops different children into photos and things like that. They're so shameless.
Wait, what?
You know, like, there was that photo of one of Kim's kids and one of Chloe's kids or Kylie's kids at a amusement park. And she'd photoshopped one out and another one in. And, like, it was just widely known. I feel like their Photoshop things, for some reason, it's like Photoshop fails, but the Kardashians want them to fail. And then they don't care when everyone talks about them. They're just very, I don't know, shameless about shit like that.
Why do you think, so this is, for people who aren't accustomed, obviously we're not going to explain who the Kardashians are, but I was really intrigued when, so the season ended, you know, it was, I think it had been going for like 10 years or something insane. They'd done so many seasons with E, it ended. They were like, the Kardashians is gone, we're gone for good.
Like 16.
And then it was like, and we're back. And we're on Disney, and we're better than ever. And I would love to know what those conversations looked like as to why it ended, why it began with a different, you know, network. But it almost feels like part of that, I think they probably knew, I guess from a marketing perspective, it's like, if you do this big song and dance that something's going to end and it's going to go away, and then you quite shamelessly bring it back, there has to be a reason that you're going to bring people into this new thing. Because they'll be like, well, the old one ended, I assume it ended because it was done. What's this new one got? And I feel like what this new one's got is that they, like you said, share so much shamelessly. It's so meta. Like, they're sitting there going, Courtney's, you know, shared less about herself than I have about me and my divorce and like this and this. And I'm like, how can you be discussing this?
No, I know. And like, it's interesting. Okay, the reason that they moved from E to fucking Hulu or Disney or whoever actually produces it now is definitely just money. Like, E, sorry, it's a sinking, like, E's not the relevant place to be. So there was definite money chat.
Something
and then
there,
also, it's so interesting the way that you just said, like, they share heaps, but they share it so calculatedly that nothing, and we can't expect them to be relatable, obviously. They're the most unrelatable people in the world.
Entirely.
But they share, like, Chloe, I think she just seems like she is having the roughest time of anyone well, not of anyone ever, but she's having a rough
one. She's going through it.
Anyway, I think the Kardashians are not relevant, like, not that they're not relevant. I think they're not that interesting to the generation below us, because this is something Duncan talks about all the time, is we grew up at the end of, like, the monoculture, yes, where there was, like, one thing that everyone watched, a few artists that everyone totally listened to, you know? And we had that with the Kardashians. They were, like, the social media stars we all knew, the reality stars we all knew, and the younger generation don't have that. They didn't grow up with that. So totally. I feel like, because I don't really care that much about the Kardashians, but I find them a really interesting representation of the society we've, like, moved through.
They're like a time capsule.
Yeah, they are. And for all the people that are kind of like, I hate the Kardashians, why are we talking about them? Why, like, are we still giving them attention? I just want to read this quote that is from the woman behind Kardashian Colloquium, because she's fucking smart. She studies them as, like, a, I don't know, representation of society. And she said, attention focused on Kim wearing Marilyn Monroe's dress on the same night that Politico leaked papers suggesting that the US Supreme Court plans to overturn Roe v. Wade. It's impossible to pretend that pop culture didn't give human rights a run for their money in the attention economy that underlies every aspect of life online. And then, because I'm just like, you can say that you hate them, you say you don't care, but we actually can't just block our ears and pretend that they are not really telling of the time we live in. And then a professor, Meredith Jones, who runs something called the Kimposium, she's, like, fucking smart as well, and I love this quote from her. When energy is spent declaring that something is not worth serious consideration, I know it's important. Because when people devote time and space to condemnation, it immediately makes me wonder what social fears or cultural desires might lie beneath the aggression. I'm interested in what this family can teach us about ourselves, about our cultural concerns, about how our societies are changing, about our fears and horrors. And
wow,
I'm just like, these, and this feels like a larger thing about when people shit on you for talking about pop culture. It's like, you're not, you can, it's fine to just talk about it because you're interested in it and because you like it, but it always shows you something about society. Like, I'll turn on the Kardashians and I'll see how much those women have shrunk from the past 2 years. And I'm like, this is showing us the way that, you know, they introduced the BBL era and then all these young women felt like they had to get BBLs. And now they're allegedly in their Ozempic era. And it's showing us, among many other things, the way that we follow a trend, like, from people that we, that the world allegedly doesn't care about, but who are shaping literal the body and the standard of beauty for so many women. Oh my God. Women.
There's That's an amazing, like, amazing article by Gia Tolentino. I think it's in Trick Mirror and it's also just online. And it's The Rise of Catface. And it's just so good talking about this. And I think you're exactly right. It's like, no one's telling you you have to go watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Me and Luce will. But that's our job. But I think to, like, pretend it's not happening, or equally, and I think I'd say this about anyone, I just, the amount of, like, abhorrent, I don't even know what, that they must get their way. Like, anyone saying these people should die, anything like that, just no. We don't ever talk about people like that. So, like, we just don't do that. But they're permeating culture. I mean, literally, Rupert will sit with me, Stanley Tucci Light, when I'm watching it, and he'll be like, that one's Kendall. And I'll be like, that is Chloe. And he'll be like, that one is Courtney. I'll be like, that is Kim. But he came to me the other day when I think Kim and maybe it was just Kim was at an Arsenal match, and, like, one of the Arsenal players, like, put up a FaceTime video talking to her or something, and then, like, it spurred this whole thing where they called it the Kardashian curse, because I think Arsenal started losing after they attended that game.
Oh.
And now it's permeated Rupert's whole world. And he's like, yeah, I know the Kardashians. They're the Kardashian curse. And, like, they, I mean, to what you were saying earlier, they are finding ways to be relatable, relevant, and it is working.
Yeah, like, I think
for, love it or hate it, it's working.
For this age group, and, like, they are just, Kris Jenner is a mastermind. And I love Kris Jenner, right? I'm going to say it. I fucking love Kris Jenner. And I feel like when Kris Jenner dies, and I'm not wishing this into existence, obviously, but I feel like when she passes away, it's going to be like, you know, when we were kids and Michael Jackson passed away and the world just, it was the first mass mourning I think I have been a part of that I remember. I think Kris Jenner will be like that for our generation, for our specific, I think that
I don't think she will.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Not bringing a prop, but like.
And that's the thing. I don't imagine it happening. I don't want it to happen, but I think that'll be just really interesting to live through. I also wanted to read this out because, again, I'm going to link this article that I got these wonderful quotes from. It's in Refinery 29. It's called Why I Won't Stop Intellectualizing the Kardashians. It's basically talking about how if you don't just want to stick your head in the sand and say you hate the Kardashians and they're irrelevant, you don't want to look any deeper, you can look at them as people that are representations of other things. Like, if you don't want to see them as people because it makes you really angry, at least if you want to take a deeper dive, you could see them as representations. Representations of the complexity of racial mutability in America, the entrenched tradition of white consumption of black culture, and the wave of social media perpetuated performative activism that we're all increasingly grappling with. And all that seemingly silly content analysis, when done well, it can offer insight into the power of narrative, which we tend to take for granted, despite the fact that narrative is a driving force behind all publicity and politics. And this reminds me of sort of that 2020 era when people were learning about really fucking serious issues, particularly in America, and a lot of them, to make sense of it, used the Kardashians as a lens to help them grapple with be representations of much more serious issues. So it's just not dumb to look deeper into these things and use them. Like, I love using pop culture as a way to help understand the world. And if that has to be the Kardashians and the way they've positioned themselves.
Oh, there's so many things. I mean, and if nothing else, it's a study in, I think, PR, like you said before, and like you can listen to that other Culture Vulture episode with Luce and Liv, but the number of things this family has bounced back from that I genuinely was like, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't bounce back from that. You can't bounce back from, like, what? I mean, and again, it's like, warranted or not, there is a lot of criticism, and I think a lot of it is warranted. And then there's just a lot of, like, hate as well, and there's so much there, and they continue on. And it is either a lesson in PR or a lesson in culture or something, but there is something going on there that I think it's worth paying attention to for all the reasons you've just outlined.
Yeah, and then the amount of rebrands as well that these people have done, it's not just even in how they look, although that's a huge one. Just like people right now are saying that Kylie's rebranding to be more like Sophia Richie because she sees that that's working and she's doing the quiet luxury thing with no labels and, you know, no blah, blah, blah. And just, it must take so much fucking energy to be trying to stay relevant your whole life because it is your job. But it's almost like, kudos, like, they have enough money that they could just tap out, and some would argue they should just fucking tap out and go and live in Hydra and, I don't know, like, live the dream. But I just feel like maybe Kris Jenner's instilled it into them. Maybe they're just scared of not having attention anymore. But there's something in that group of women that just keeps them going. Like, if nothing else, they've got gumption. No one wants to get up and fucking work. I mean, that.
No one wants to get up with gumption anymore. And I've been saying that.
That's one of the things that I literally was like, surely they can't bounce back from
literally.
But they bounce back from everything. And there is also something in when you have that much money, you're kind of untouchable in that way because you can just disappear and get over it. But I would say, this kind of sounds opposite to everything I've been saying, their influence, I think, is in dwindling. Like, I don't think they have very much influence anymore, but I think them as symbols in the world we live in is still relevant.
At least pop culture symbols. And yeah, 100%. I mean, do you follow any of them on Instagram?
No.
No, see, neither.
No. I only see them when I seek them out.
Yes.
Which is why I think younger generations won't.
Won't be. That's what I mean. I think all my knowledge of it comes from either like peripheral, where it like permeates other culture.
Yeah.
Or watching the very curated
yes.
like TV shows. So even that in itself, it's like they're influencing, but they're not influencing. Like you're not daily seeing, how many of them are there? 7 images? 6?
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I don't even know. But yeah, that's an interesting question that we don't even choose to follow them. But that's because they are just everywhere. You don't have to follow them to know them. So cultural symbols, everyone. We're telling you.
We're telling you. And on that note.
We've already done what's on our radar. I will say I'm interviewing tomorrow the two boys that play Conrad and Jeremiah from The Summer I Turned Pretty for TikTok. So stay tuned. Come and follow our TikTok because we're doing some like, I'm going to ask them some mundane poll questions because I feel like they'll be sick of answering like, you know, the standard, what was your favorite scene to shoot? And blah, blah. So I'm like, we have 15 minutes. Let's just do some funny questions. So yeah, I know I'm going to be swooning. And also, yeah, Belle's interviewing Curtis Sittenfeld, writer of romantic comedy, tomorrow. And that will be for the book club podcast. So come and become a Cisco supporter. And you get so much good extra shit. And also you help us do this as a job.
And keep going.
Make sure that we can pay Laura to be here and her late nights.
And my late nights. And I'll be interviewing Stanley Tucci as soon as we find a contact. So message me, DM me.
Laura's life goal. Laura's life goal is to interview Stanley Tucci. And you've already asked him one question, so we just need you to be able to ask him 20 more.
I think Stanley Tucci or Dolly Alderton, and I may as well just give up. That'd be my life done. Absolutely done.
It's so doable. Give me a week in Portugal and free up some brain space, and we will...
And we're there.
We'll make that happen. Thank you for listening to this random episode and rant of us finding our feet again.
Hope you missed us.
Hope you missed us. Hope you low-key missed this episode. No. And we shall, with utmost pleasure, see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.